reading this morning is from Matthew 26, verses 39 through 46. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's get going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The word of the Lord.
Be seated.
Adam, I am so thankful for your testimony, for you sharing with us your heart and beautiful words, and giving us a picture of what the men who you are discipling, who your team is discipling, how they are called to walk. I'm very thankful for leaders and community participants like Barbara and like Dana, who have, Dana, that was I think Fred Craddock would have thought that was a fantastic sermon. And so I'm just honored to be with you, to be a church with you. And when I stand with Jesus in that garden, I don't get to put my shoes in his shoes. Sometimes I do that with scripture. Sometimes I read about Jesus and I think, that's what I would have done. I watched him destroy the Pharisees for years and thought, "Get him, Jesus." And it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized, he was getting us. That I don't get to read my Bible and put myself in the shoes of Jesus. I have to read my Bible and put myself in the shoes of the Pharisees. That I have to put myself in the shoes of the sinners, of the disciples, asleep on the ground. You know, some things are almost too much to bear of a commandment. Sometimes they're just, it's go marry Gomer, God tells Hosea. Cast your nets to the other side of the boat. Drink the cup of the cross. And we don't do them necessarily always because they make sense in our mind, but because they make sense in God's mind, I'm going to take those steps forward. Because they are what God has called us to do, and we trust and have faith in God. Because we trust the God that commands us, we take the steps that God calls us to take. And that sort of obedience is not somehow in competition with faith, where faith is one thing where you can believe. And I cognitively know God, but faith is when I trust God to the point where I'm going to take steps that don't always make sense to me. So, as I stand with Jesus in the garden, sometimes it's hard to keep my eyes open. Sometimes I fall asleep to the command. I fall asleep to what Jesus is doing and how difficult it is for him to do. To be on your knees or face down on the ground as Jesus probably was and be saying, I know what you're calling me to and I don't want it. I know what you're asking of me and I don't want to respond. But if this is what you're calling me to, God, I will take the steps in the necessary direction to get there. If this is what you're asking of me, God, I will respond. And here's what Jesus believed about God that we don't often trust. Is that God's job is not always to rescue us from the difficulty. But God is often calling us to be rescued through the difficulty. I will get to the other side of this, and the tomb will be empty. I will get to the other side of this, and resurrection will occur. I will get to the other side of this, the cross, the torture, the beatings, the death, the burial, and then, wouldn't you know it, resurrection, because God isn't leading me to some place where God is not victorious. God is not leading me to some place where God can't take care of it, or God is befuddled. You never make a decision and God goes, oh, I don't know what to do with this. Benjamin really stumped me this time. We'll have to go back to the drawing room. No, God can handle your failures and your brokenness. There's so many times where God has called me to do something and I have not done it because I've fallen asleep, just gotten distracted, didn't know what was going on. Just, you know, life happens. You ever thought, hey, I should check on that person? And then it's July. Just week after week after week come at you so fast and you just fall asleep. You ever seen a kid with a leash? The backpack. They've got a little backpack on. It's clipped, padlocked. Have you ever thought, why would they do that to that kid? But those of you who have ever had a leashed kid know exactly why you're doing it. Watch that kid next time. Don't just look and judge. Watch it. That kid is straining against it. Over and again, just like, if they didn't have that kid gripped tight, that kid would be like somewhere in a clothes rack in Maurice's down the street. That kid, they're just anchored to that thing and they can't get away from it. I have that image in my head sometimes of grief and difficulty where my life feels so attached to something I can't get away from. And what I actually need to be doing, the kids who aren't on a leash are just, they're usually just, you know, heel and they're here. And they just walk with you. The kids, what that kid doesn't know is the safest place is by their father or by their mother. Sometimes there's things in my life I want to get away from. But getting away from them isn't dealing with them. You are brave enough and strong enough and faithful enough to walk through or to be near what you're worried about. Not because we're good, but the guy we keep falling asleep on did it first. And Jesus walked through death and disdain and came out king. I need you to know, God needs you to know, that you are brave enough to do this. Because the one you are walking with, it's old hat to him. That whole walking up to this, let's put this scripture back up on the screen, the scriptures that are there in my sermon section, unless we're rebooting the computer. We are. Trust me, they're in the Bible. It wasn't on the screen. I'm not sure if it's accurate. He's in the garden. He says, in verse 45, then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. He says, see, look, they're coming. Get up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand. But what direction did he walk? He walked toward Judas. Met him in the garden. And said, the world can do its worst, but the tomb will be empty and the throne will be occupied. The world can do its worst to you, but the king walks alongside you. And you can trust that he will not abandon you. You can trust that he will overcome with you. And you can trust that he will not fall asleep on you. That he will walk toward what is scary in obedience and in faith. And that hand in hand, you can walk with him. The tomb will be empty, and the throne will be occupied. By the King who loves you and gave himself for you. Let's pray. Our God, you are holy. As a church, as a group, as a community, God, we have so many things we will face over the years, but God, may we be fearless. May we be full of faith and trust that wherever you go, we will be wise to go with you. To trust that whatever your mission is, God, we are your missionaries. Wherever you lead us, God, we will be your disciples. Give us courage. Give us faith. Give us wisdom. God, help us to walk where you walk and do as you do and love as you love. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. We are